I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you know this if you listen often enough. We have counselor and leadership coach Nicole Eunice on every once in a while. Well, we had her on last month talking about navigating holiday expectations. We kind of agreed together, and you really gave us your wholehearted yes. We wanted to have her on this month to talk about weathering the winter season together. And we had her booked for a while now, and it's been so interesting how many people have let me know right now they're just kind of really feeling the winter blues, feeling kind of stuck, a little bit of hopelessness, discouragement. And maybe you're there too. In fact, I want to open up the show just by asking this question. I love that you're not afraid to be raw and honest. I'm not afraid to be raw and honest either, as you know. So tell me this. Are you stuck? And if so, how? Where? Where are you stuck in life? Will you let me know? Text me now, 877-933-2484. Or maybe another way to ask this question, are you battling kind of the winter blues, where just maybe it's kind of that hope deferred, where you've just waited a long time to see the sun, for a breakthrough, for evidence that God is moving? Or maybe stuck is the way that is the best word to describe what you're feeling. Why don't you text me, 877-933-2484. We've got a handful of copies of Nicole's book, The Miracle Moment, How Tough Conversations Can Actually Transform Your Most Important Relationships. And boy, what a word in due season this book is for the times that we find ourselves in. Nicole Eunice is my guest today. Again, she's a counselor and leadership coach. Her book, her latest book that we're talking a little bit about today, is The Miracle Moment, How Tough Conversations Can Actually Transform Your Most Important Relationships. As I mentioned, we've got a handful of copies to give away. We're going to get her on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. Set Apart Conference is coming up. I can't wait. This is one of our favorites to be a part of, March 4th and 5th on the beautiful campus of University Northwestern. I'm going to be one of the keynotes, as well as Rebecca Lyons. And then Dr. Troy and I are going to do a featured session on hormones, weight loss, sleep, autoimmune issues. It's going to be fantastic. Cannot wait. You'll find more information on the web, Set Apart Conference. I think it's .com. But if you search, you'll find it. Also, One Child. We are partnering with One Child here at Faith Radio. Our prayer and hope is to get 250 children sponsored. If you need more information, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and click on the One Child link, and you're going to see just beautiful faces of children who are hoping and praying to be sponsored. You're going to hear a lot about that, especially in the next couple of days. But I pray that you'll just prayerfully consider what your part might be. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Nicole Eunice is a counselor and leadership coach. Through her book, Speaking and Consulting, she invites leaders and organizations to grow in courageous vulnerability. I love that term. That's amazing. In order to maximize both joy and success at home and at work. She holds degrees from the College of William and Mary and from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. She and her husband, Dave, live in Virginia with their three children and their two pups. And we love her. Nicole, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Susie, thank you for such a warm welcome. I'm really glad to be back. And what a time we're in. Mm. And yeah, I think left to right in my own world, I have had so many conversations with folks who feel like they just are in a wilderness, might be, or a winter, yeah, or some sort, mm-hmm, of season that doesn't feel familiar to them. And we're all trying to navigate that together.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so glad to have you, weathering the winter seasons together. It might be a literal winter season, or you could, mm-hmm, live in Florida, but it's a winter season of the soul. And, you know, we've got listeners from around the world, and so truly from different climates. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, if you were to be in Minnesota right now, where I live, it is a blustery day. The snow is blowing across, you know, and it's gray. But it's freezing, and it really is kind of a picture of how so many people feel in, mm-hmm, their soul. So, mm-hmm, before we dig into that conversation, though, let's start here. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Mm. You know, we spoke last month, and you know, I'm a fellow traveler like you are, Susie, and I feel like I'm in a winter season, and I really have to return to kind of home base basics at that time. Whenever I feel like I'm in a season like that. So for me, that looks like reading the Psalms and just reading a Psalm each day and reflecting and meditating on what that Psalm has to say. And the one that has really, there's just this line that's come up in my life before, but I read it again this week from Psalm 20, verse 7. And it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And it's just this invitation. It's a prompt that's an invitation, because obviously in the context of when it was written, the strongest, mightiest assets that you could have would be horses and chariots. And that would be a sign of your power. That would be a sign of your worth and identity and success. And I think about where we are now and what do I personally need to insert into that psalm as a prayer to remind myself, you know, some trust in success, some trust in likes, but I trust in the name of the Lord my God. So, you know, some trust in ongoing, you know, sort of this idea of positivity, just toxic positivity all the time, but I trust in the name of the Lord our God. So that's an invitation I think that I've been taking. And I just want to invite everyone else to think through, yeah, what is it that people put their trust in around me? And what am I tempted to put my trust in that's not the name of the Lord? And what might God be teaching me in this season where some of those things perhaps have been stripped away or feel far away? How do I reorient my heart to be trusting in the name of the Lord my God? Because I can do that in every single season.
Wow, that's good. I got to ask, toxic positivity. I've never heard that phrase before. What does that look like?
Well, you know,
kind of like
whole...
the kind of sugar that gives you cavities kind of positivity that has no substance or depth to it.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of toxic positivity, I think about this idea that we're going to deny any pain. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to accept grief or loss in our life. And we're going to do almost in a sort of a prosperity gospel type way. I'm going to name and claim this happiness in my life. And it's just, it's antithetical to the scriptures, because the scripture has lament in it as part of our experience. The Psalms are full of times where people, you know, the psalmist says, "I feel far away from God. I don't know where God is in this," or "I feel discouraged." Toxic positivity doesn't allow for a winter season. It just assumes we can press through from glory to glory, although that is a true thing, glory to glory. But the idea that there's no valleys, there's only mountaintops, I think is something that's sometimes sold in our culture, and it's not realistic. So then those folks who are texting in and talking about feeling stuck, not only do they feel stuck, but they also feel ashamed about feeling stuck. Or if they feel stuck and then they feel like somehow they're denying their faith if they're not joyful or happy at every moment. But the scripture gives us an opportunity to have a range of human experience. It says that our Jesus was a man of many sorrows, acquainted with much grief. So there is a place in our life for seasons that may feel not as positive in our life. There is a place for suffering, and we're all in sort of a collective suffering, although to different levels, but we all are in a collective loss right now, a loss of control, a loss of plans, a loss of relationships. We're all doing that together. And if we think that we can just like smile our way through it and not ask, what could God be teaching me right now? How could God actually be using this season on purpose? How could he use this pain to bring about something different and good that is unexpected or that I didn't realize I was missing? That to me is real positivity instead of a toxic version of it.
Boy, I sure love that. And just friends, so you know, tomorrow we're going to really delve into the distinct seasons. There's a purpose and a reason for the seasons. And if you were to study the seasons, you'd sure understand why God destined it to be so. And such a visual, such an analogy of there's a time for harvest. There's a time for, you know, sowing seeds. There's a time to be dormant. And it's when things feel cold and dead, but things are happening underground. All these seasons are so incredibly important. I did ask friends to text in to say, are you stuck? If so, where or how? And this, your soul says, yes, I don't want to go anywhere. How common is that? Really kind of shutting down when you're maybe in a winter season of the soul.
Yeah. Well, we should, of course, Susie, we'll want to make a distinction between a winter season and a more of a depression, which is, you know, a real thing that real Christians deal with. I know you talk about this on the show all the time. We have a space for that. And there is, you know, chemicals in the brain that are impacted over time that can lead to a depression that is, there's a chemical response. It's not just a spiritual thing, although it has spiritual ramifications. So we want to separate those two things. For me, one of the ways that, and again, I'm not here to diagnose anyone, but a helpful just way to think about a clinical depression would be it impacts every part of your life. So home, work, relationships, physical life, generally a depression will be global across all of those things. And so, and another one of those ways that we might find ourselves like, okay, is this something that I need to talk to somebody about? Is if we start to lose the ability to kind of like do our daily life functions, you know, get out of bed, take a shower and do our chores and just keep up with life. If that begins to feel like you can't do that, or of course, if you have any feelings or thoughts of self-harm, that requires treatment and there is help for it. And depression is treatable. It is not just a thing you have to live with. It is treatable. So that's a, that is one section, right, that we want to make space for. And another kind of a third just way to think about this, and perhaps, you know, we can put some help, you know, in resources for you guys. But a third way to think about this is when you lose hope for the future. And this is the one that I think we can all kind of find ourselves like leaning into in a time of crisis or chaos or whatever. We're like, what am I hopeful for? And when we lose any sense of hope, that's another sign of a depression. When we can't see anything to enjoy, we can't see anything in the future. And by anything, I mean like anything, like you can't even think about the smile of your child or something like that, that would give you joy. That's a real depression on, and that's on that side of things. On the side of things that we're talking about, a winter of the soul, you know, yeah, I think there is this sense of almost hibernation that can come around when we're in one of these seasons. And this spiritual place, God can use that place. Now, of course, it can be very disconcerting if you are not used to that, or you're an extrovert, or you're used to having really high energy and just being out and about, and you find yourself not doing that. You might be worried about yourself. You know, you're scared for yourself because you're not used to doing that. But there's a real gift in slowing down and being quiet and even being alone, because that kind of settling allows sometimes bigger things that we haven't dealt with, that we have ignored or pressed away. It allows those to come to the surface. And one of those things that I think we really can experience in a winter season is grief. And grief is not just when someone we love dies. Grief is also about loss. It's about loss of what we thought might be. It's about expectations that weren't met. It's even about just like the collective weight of the brokenness of our world. Like there's room and space for the loss that we might feel when we deal with reality. And I find that people in winter seasons often for the first time are actually confronting, what is my relationship with grief and loss in my life? Like when things don't go the way I want them to go, what do I do with that? And that may be new for folks to actually find themselves being sad and not being sure how to be sad.
I'd love to explore that more on the other side of the break for sure. And just even making, I love that you made the clear distinction between depression and kind of a winter season of the soul, because for every believer, we're going to walk through those winter seasons of the soul where the change is happening underground, where all the activity up top kind of ceases, so God can do the internal work. That's right. And the underground work, but so different than actual depression. So I appreciate the distinction there. So when we come back, we'll look more even at that distinction between isolation and solitude. Are you self-protecting? Are you hiding? Are you kind of pulling away so you don't have to have hard conversations or face hard things? Or is God kind of put you away, tucked you away so that things can surface, so that together you guys can heal? And Lisa, I see your text. I'll read that on the other side. I definitely want to pray for you, Lisa. Appreciate you, all the work you do to help others heal. We'll tackle that one as well. Talking to Nicole Eunice. She's a leadership coach. She's a counselor, and she's with us today. Her book, The Miracle Moment. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. If you've got a question or comment, send it in a separate text, and we'll be back in a moment. Look up and hear him say, don't hang your head when you get lonely. No, I'll never leave your side. And don't go thinking tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Had to let that song play out a little bit. Talking to Nicole Yunus. She's a leadership coach. She is a counselor. She's our friend. And she's going to be joining us, Lord willing, on a more regular basis, hopefully monthly, so we can tackle different topics and hope to equip and encourage you. I pray that you find encouragement here every day. I want to read this text from a friend. We're talking about weathering winter seasons together and even navigating some of the tough conversations that need to happen in some of our relationships. How do we do all that without losing hope, without shrinking back and hiding away from the world altogether, especially in winter seasons, literal winter seasons and those winter seasons of the soul? So Lisa says, Suzy, I'm feeling frustrated with being a nurse and tired of the stress of it all, especially since the pandemic began, considering a career change. I used to be so excited about going to work and helping others and probably experiencing some burnout. I'd appreciate prayers, not just for me, but for all of our healthcare workers. Love the show in ministry. Boy, Lisa, we appreciate you. We're going to pray for you. But any words for Lisa before we pray?
Gosh, Lisa, thank you for serving us. You know, I mean, it's really a servant, a nurse, and for our whole country in this whole time. And, you know, sometimes these seasons become times where we realize that we're ready to make a change. And I like to think of sometimes, especially high stress jobs, sometimes God gives us a lap to run the race, and it's time to pass the baton. And that doesn't have to be a failure. It doesn't have to be anything other than this season of my life. It's time for me to pass that baton. And particularly in some professions, there can be such a strong culture in that profession. Actually, ministry is one of them as well, that it almost feels like you're not allowed to leave. Like, you gave your life to this. This is your calling. You can't not do this anymore. And I think that is really to our detriment to not accept that there can be seasons of time where we do a career and then we may do something else. And there may be a different way to do that. But Lisa, for you right now, you sound like you know that you're burned out. You sound like you know that your frustration level is higher because of the pandemic. I mean, absolutely. And I would just encourage you, first of all, to think about, what does it look like to care for myself during the season? Where do I find joy? How can I flourish in that, even if it's once a week? And how can I savor those things? I was just talking with another counselor friend, and we were talking about what happens in the brain when you actually have to help your brain savor positive experiences. Our brain will always go to negative experiences and hold on to those, but positive experiences require some intentionality to hold on to. So that might be just a practice for you, where at the end of each of your shifts, you think to yourself, what is the moment that was meaningful in this shift today? It could have been a word exchanged with a coworker. It might have been one patient. And you actually rehearse and thank God for that moment, and perhaps even share it with someone else, which will double that sort of endorphin like rush of positivity, just to get you sort of maybe back to the middle where, yes, you're exhausted. Yes, you're burnt. You know, you're feeling close to burnout, but you're allowing your brain to make some new connections to this, the reason that you became a nurse in the first place. And that can help you not just shift out of this career because of burnout, but allow you maybe a space to engage with, wait, is this what I'm really meant to do? Is this what I'm called to do? And perhaps God has a new open door for you within healthcare that doesn't look exactly like what you're doing right now. So in the short term, we're going to pray for you and for all our healthcare workers. In the long term, I would encourage you to try that exercise in that day where you're savoring a positive moment, and then see how that might shift your perspective. And I would think that if after a month or two it hasn't, perhaps you do ask the question, what else brings me joy that might be out there for me? Because it might be a season where it's time to pass that baton.
I can't even tell you how much I appreciate that response, Nicole. I am just so fascinated by brain science and the idea of when we, especially when we're hurting, when we're tired, when, you know, hope deferred and all that, we start to think not only about how we feel, but how we feel about how we feel. And when you start to add that up, it has this accumulative effect that saps us of strength so fast. And so to get back to perspective before you make any kind of life change is so, so important. And I don't even think we realize the drift that happens, but boy, it does. And so to go, I'm going to fight for a perspective here. And then once I kind of get my legs under me, I'll have some clarity about maybe I need a break, maybe I need a change, or maybe I needed just a change of perspective. So that is so good. So Mary also says, praying for Lisa, I'm leaving nursing for a different reason, but I appreciate prayer too. So how about if you pray for Lisa and for Mary, and then I'll pray for just healthcare workers in general.
Father, we thank you for the way that you connect our hearts, that we get to use the radio as a place to have fellowship with one another, Lord. And you call us to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, Lord, right now, everyone listening, we lift up Mary and we lift up Lisa. And Father, we don't know all the ins and outs of their stories, the burdens that they carry, the worries that are on their mind, even right now. But Father, you do. And God, your spirit is one that will strengthen us in our inmost places, Lord. We pray that they would know how wide and long and high and deep is your love for them, that Jesus, your love actually gives us the strength to live this life that you've called us to, Lord. And we thank you, God, that our calling is not to a position or a particular job. It's our calling is to actually live as servants of you. And I pray that they would be able to make those connections even today in the work that they do, that for the moment that they're in, that you would give them their daily bread, their daily provision, that provision of encouragement or affirmation or just a sense of being able to help somebody else, that would be enough for today, Lord, and that they would trust you with all of their tomorrows, even as their lives perhaps are shifting or changing or the season is changing, God, that we can trust you, that you will reveal your will to us in your time. And until then, we can rest in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.
And Father God, we lift up not only all healthcare workers, but I'm thinking of law enforcement officials, military, first responders, so many who are on the front line, who have thankless jobs and whom people make a lot of assumptions about. And Lord, the enemy has loved this, Lord God, just bringing division, bringing exhaustion. So I pray for each and every one that you would put mentors in their lives and godly friends in their lives and church leaders to call on them and to pursue them and to speak life into them. And I pray, oh God, that you'd heal their soul, make them whole. And I pray if there have been departures in thought, because it's such a natural response to being so physically or emotionally fried and tired, I pray you'd help them redirect those thoughts back to those spaces of grace, those places of thanksgiving, where we look up to you and know that every good gift comes from you. Breathe, oh God, fresh life into these precious ones. And I pray, God, you'd protect them from each from making a reactionary decision in a temporary battle. Some are being called out, but others just need a rest and they need a nap and they need a counselor and they need a retreat or maybe even a vacation. So I pray for profound wisdom about what each soul needs, especially those who feel burnt out and sad and want to end it. I pray, God, bring life, bring perspective, bring faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Nicole, I want to revisit that whole idea of isolation versus maybe being tucked away into a season of obscurity that has been orchestrated by God. A super important distinction. We'll be back in a minute.
Weary traveler, restless soul, you were never meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it, so just hold on. Weary traveler, you won't be weary long.
Do you hear that? Weary traveler, you won't be weary long, and we're in this together. Don't give up hope. Don't let your thoughts take you into the ditch. Even if you're exhausted and need are burnt out and you need some rest, there are things you can do today with just guarding your thoughts and taking care of your soul and being kind to yourself and doing some things that put a spring in your step. Self-care is extremely important. Our good friend Nicole Eunice joins us today. She's a leadership coach and a counselor. Her book is titled The Miracle Moment, How Tough Conversations Can Actually Transform Your Most Important Relationships. And we're going to talk in a bit about tough conversations. That's sort of a great segue to this point that I want to talk about first. But I want to ask you, friends, what are you walking through? How would you describe your particular season of life? In what ways are you stuck? You can text 877-933-2484. So let's go back to this idea of isolation versus God tucking us away into obscurity so we can heal. I mean, there are times where it's by nature that God allows us to come into a season where things, all the activity, you know, up top, so to speak, ceases so we can do some internal under the surface work. But then there's others who are hiding away because, you know, think about it, Nicole. I mean, I have not in my lifetime seen such sudden shifts. I mean, whiplash type shifts in relationships and perspectives from fellow believers where they're drawing lines in the sand going, I'm on this side and you're on that side. I've never seen it like I've seen it in this last couple of years. So, you know, it changes things. So what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it does. And I think sometimes our isolation is actually from hurt. We've had, you know, a struggle with someone, a good friend or someone in our church, or something's happening in our church. And that was a place of community. And then it doesn't feel like a place of community anymore. We might have that same thing happen in our families. And so what felt like a place that was safe doesn't feel like a safe place anymore. And for many of us, self-protection is withdrawal. That's what we'll do. We're going to pull back and we're going to create distance, right? And I think that for a period of time, that may be necessary, but there's a difference between God slowing things down in your life and pruning things and you escaping. And I think one of the, some of the ways that you might know if you're escaping is that you start avoiding people, avoiding places. You start maybe just are doing things that fill your time, but are not fruitful. So, you know, more TV and whatever mindless things, more computer games or phone games or whatever, that you're just, you find yourself just kind of distracting yourself. People who are withdrawing are going to distract. People who are, God is like using in a quiet space, are going to actually engage and go deeper in their heart. And that might look the same on the outside, but it's actually very different. It's very, very different to keep trying to escape from whatever you're feeling and to actually engage what you're feeling. And oftentimes when you engage it, it does take energy to do that. So for instance, in this season, one of the things that I've seen particularly, Susie, and maybe you've noticed it too, is when we have these moments of division, let's say in our families or our homes or whatever, we may have been believing some things or having some comfort around things that weren't actually the things of the Lord. They were the comfortable things that were in our life. So I have a comfortable, let's say you have a comfortable community and a comfortable relationship, and you think that that community, that small group, that church or whatever is just fully in line with Jesus Christ, right? And then you have a moment where there's a division of some kind and you see all of those people for who they are, which is human. And God can be saying, hey, some people trust in this or that, but I'm telling you, you got to trust in me first. And a lot of us can find ourselves placing our trust in a lot of other things and we don't realize we're doing it until those things are gone. And then we have to ask that question, wait, what is it like for me to cultivate a relationship with God that I am responsible for being in partnership with the Spirit in this relationship? God's going to provide for me. Of course, he'll provide for me relationships. He'll provide for me a fellowship. But if the fellowship comes first, if the community is more important than God, then my loves are not prioritized correctly. And when those things get disordered, we will experience disorder. And so sometimes these quiet seasons are times where we realize, oh my gosh, I was putting a whole lot more of my faith in these structures and systems, perhaps the church I was in or whatever, than I was in actually Jesus himself. And it's, again, not because we don't need the church. The church is necessary, and it is a necessary part of our life. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you do need to seek a worshiping community that is part of our experience. But we can get those things disordered, and sometimes this can be a season where we begin to ask, wait a second, what do I find my security in? Do I find my security in being surrounded by like-minded people that I think are like me? And now that I'm realizing that we actually don't all think alike, it's making everything in my world fall apart. Well, God wants to reorder that. And sometimes the only way for that to get reordered is these seasons of quiet, these seasons of winter, where we go back and we search the scriptures and we seek out maybe in your closest relationships, in your family, your relationship with your, in your marriage, that becomes the place that becomes your core rather than perhaps other things that were in your life.
You know, I guess it begs the question, whose opinion holds too much sway in my life? Whose opinion, like if they shifted in their perspective of me, would devastate me? Because it's again, no condemnation, but it is information, Lord. I trust in the name of the Lord, my God. You are the one who's on your throne. And because the fear of man is a snare. In fact, you say, when we are others defined, conflict in relationships is even harder. When we are confronted or critiqued or challenged by others, we feel like our entire identity is on the line. And I do believe that is why God allows these different disruptions, and it's so earth-shaking to us, but he's not shaking. He still loves us, but it's good for us to see where we're putting our trust, you know?
And it's easy, of course, Susie, it's easy for you and I to, easy is of course relative, but it's easy to talk about this without capturing, this is a process that can go on for a long time. And that's what I think I want our listeners to hear today, is that trusting the process, that God is still with you. God is for you. God loves you deeply. He's not going to leave you here. You're not going to be in a state of just pruned or sort of stripped down forever. But when you and I talk about it and we think about our own seasons in our life, I mean, some of these seasons for me lasted year, like more than a long time, you know, like more than a year, a long season of just wilderness or in between, perhaps even longer than a year. For some, we're holding out hope on something that we've been praying about for decades. And it can be easy in a radio show to make it sound like this is going to resolve really quickly. But you and I both know that, like, this is, we're in an in-between in our earthly lives. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to our actual home. We're not in our actual home. And so in some ways, we're always in an in-between season as we live this life as believers. But those seasons also, these little micro seasons we're talking about, they also last a while, perhaps most of the time longer than we would want them to. So how do we find encouragement and strength even in feeling like something's going on too long? And I don't know, Susie, if you have a story about a time like that in your own life, or just felt like it was lasting too long, and how you stayed the course and stayed faithful in that.
Yeah, I do, actually. That's interesting. You know, I've been saying to some of my, you know, more inner circle, and this is raw honesty, but I feel like I've been kind of bleeding under my armor for about 7 years. I mean, it's been very painful for me. And I would say, I don't know, about a month ago, the Lord like slapped me, and in the best way. I mean, like maybe that God doesn't slap people, but I felt like jarringly confronted. Let's put it that way. He doesn't slap us. But I mean, it was more like the Spirit of God came in and said, I want you to stop thinking about how you feel and about how you feel about how you feel. That, I mean, that was a revelatory insight for me, because there'd been this accumulation of how long, oh God, how long? And even though I'd have stretches of feeling okay and feeling better, they never lasted. And so what it's doing was just sort of heaping upon, you know, this history of this wretched struggle, even though when I step back, I have gained so much ground and I'm so much healthier than I was, but I was too, like, I had a neuro association to the struggle. And I think everybody probably identifies that, whatever your struggle is, you know, I mean, one of my sons as kids just keep going through the cold cycle, you know, they get exposed and then the next one gets sick. And then it's so easy to go, I'm so tired of this cycle. So I think anybody that's in a cycle of struggle, you have a neuro association to the struggle. Do you know what I mean? And I think if we're not careful, we paint a narrative, you know, of how long we've been in it. And that only hurts us. The Israelites did it as well. And there was something that I just, it was like a flip of a switch, but I shut the door and I thought, I am going to quit thinking about how I feel about how I feel. Because I have gained so much ground. And it was like almost overnight, I had clarity in my spirit, and I feel like now, I mean, I have a better picture and a perspective on how I'm physically doing. And even when I have a not so good day, it literally feels like I'm stepping into a springtime season of the soul. And so even when I have a bad day, that feels like the after effects of winter, knowing April is in front of me. Do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, I know where I've been, I know where I'm going, and God is doing a new thing, and I'm thinking about it differently. And it just, I'm just, it feels lighter. I don't know how to explain it in a shorter phrase and term than that, but
I think you're doing a beautiful job explaining it. I mean, and the interesting thing is, like, what we're talking about is an experience, right? Like I just preached on Ephesians 3, the love that, like, that God would give us this love that surpasses knowledge. So there is a way where we can't quite capture it in words. It is an experience, but what we can do, what you and I can do, and what we can do as believers for one another is we can bear witness to our experiences. And in doing so, we actually increase each other's faith and we bring hope about. And I also have a similar experience just recently, which is kind of on the other side of your story, which I love because of the way the Spirit of God works, where I feel like instead of the kind of jarring, you know, we called it a slap. You and I both know. We just met like, yeah jarring conviction. Yeah. Like, and God's definitely asked me to snap out of it before. Let's say it like that. Like, Spirit of God's calling me to snap out of it. I had the other experience just even this last week that was so moving where I just felt like God reassured me of his love for me in my own desperate need, where I felt like God was calling me to move past petition. Stop asking me for the same thing over and over again. God knows our needs. It's totally fine to ask God, by the way, for what you need. But I felt like the Spirit was convicting me to ask, what is it that you really need? Not what you want. I'm very aware of your wants. What is it that you need? This want is leading you to a need. So if I want God to move in this way, what I actually need is peace. If I want God to open the store, what I actually need is security. Like, those are the needs that were underneath those wants. And God started asking me to pray for the need. And I realized how deeply I was missing a sense of God's unconditional, all-surpassing love for me. And just in the middle of the night, had a deep sense of God's presence and his love for me in a way that I really have never had in my life. And I think about that idea that our love, that love surpasses knowledge, that God gives us these experiences. And these experiences is what sustains us in those winter seasons. Because we begin to see that God is actually real and that he really cares about each one of us.
And I appreciate that so much, because I would say at this age and stage of life, the greatest miracles and breakthroughs in prayer that Kevin and I have seen came one nuanced change at a time. So rarely was it, even when you have a suddenly moment, there was a buildup to that suddenly moment. Just like Joseph went from prison to palace, in a moment, there was a massive accumulation of events and responses that led up to that moment. And it just feels so important. Maybe on the other side, we'll talk about miracle moments. I mean, you're talking about miracle moments and tough conversations. And I'm, you know, if we don't get to that today, we will, Lord willing, in the next month when you come back. But I want to talk about miracle moments of these nuanced changes, because again, this isn't to discount, like for me, your struggle or even the bad days when they outnumber the good days. That's hard. But if I can step back and I look at all of the good that God has brought about, all the health and the strength that I actually do have, that I've been able to lay hold of on the good days, I've gained way more ground than I've lost. And I just feel like this might be a word for somebody where maybe it is snap out of it. Maybe you're rehearsing and rehashing the woes of the things that hurt you. And like the Israelites, you're dragging with you this history of heartache where God is saying, can you maybe set that down for a moment? Look at the landscape of all that I've done. Move forward, travel lighter, with a holy expectancy. Let's just talk about these miracle moments if we can look around and see what God is doing. In fact, friend, I want you to do that. Text me if you are just to look around. What are some of the ways you see God has moved or is moving in your midst? Would you text me 877-933-2484? We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Nicole Eunice, and we're talking about weathering the winter season of life. And, you know, as she made an important distinction at the open of the show, to make sure not to mistake, if you're actually depressed, there's treatment for depression. It's a treatable condition. You don't want to ignore it. You don't want to spiral down to the point where you don't want to get out of bed every day, there's help for you. That's different than what we're talking about, kind of the winter season of the soul, the hope deferred, where you feel like you've maybe gone a long time without seeing the sun or feeling the warmth of God's smile or just sense that he's moving in your life. Or maybe it's better described for you as a season of obscurity where God has maybe allowed you to be tucked aside because he wants some things that you've been not looking at to surface so he can bring some healing. And we talked about just these nuanced miracle moments, just paying attention to just really signs that God is working. And you say miracle moments happen not in a massive all-at-once transformation, but in small incremental changes to our way of relating. And this mm-hmm. kind of fine-tuning is imprinted in God's design for the world. And you were talking about, in that context, really in relationships, how you're not going to get it all done at once. It's just nuanced changes that really produce transformation. But I feel like that really does apply in our approach to life as well, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this whole idea that small is big is a huge part of the story and kind of way of the setup of miracle moments. And it's actually much more accessible and attainable because it's not about fixing someone or fixing yourself. It's about these small little changes, just like turning the dial slightly. And I'd love to point out one that I think might be helpful for our listeners today, and this, especially with the season of winter, because as we talk about winter seasons, we may find ourselves in a different emotional space than we normally are. And when we are in that place, we're much more likely to lash out, to withdraw, to maybe put our emotions not in their rightful place. That's just more likely when we're kind of, we can feel a little bit frayed. So I want to just walk through this idea of how to feel your feelings in 2 minutes or less, like what to do. And I really think there's three things that we can do with our feelings when we're feeling them. So if you're a big feeler, or you find yourself, a lot of us have closer access to certain emotion. So some of us are like we can easily get to anger. Some of us can easily get to shame. Some of us can easily get to sadness. That's just our go-to move. And when we feel that feeling, if you get triggered by something happens, your kid forgets their lunch at school, or you have a bad, weird interaction with a coworker, or whatever happens, and you've got that feeling, I want to just give you this small little adjustment that you can make when you're feeling that feeling, okay? So what I like to do is, first of all, be able to name it accurately, which many people struggle with. So there's a tool out there called the feeling wheel that actually gives you all of these emotional words that you could start to access. Feeling wheel, I believe it's actually feelingswheel.com, but it's in the miracle moment as well. And it can help you get access if you can't find that word. So interesting that with so many of my clients, when we try to describe their emotion, they actually use thinking words. And I'll say to them gently, that's actually a thought. Like that's still not a word. That is a feeling word. And many of us do not have a very strong feeling vocabulary. So we have a hard time actually naming what we're feeling. And even that, this process of being more accurate with how you feel, can release something really beautiful in you, because the next stage in the next step in that courageous vulnerability is actually sharing how you actually feel. So sometimes for me, I will go to irritation or frustration, when in reality, I often get in touch with an emotion and I might actually be feeling disappointed in myself. I might be feeling embarrassed. I have all these other feeling words that are so much more accurate and vulnerable to express. So one of the things that we can do when we feel a feeling is, first of all, name the feeling. And when we name the feeling, then we have an opportunity to figure out, is this feeling go with the moment that I'm in? So if I'm frustrated by a coworker, or I've snapped at my husband, is this feeling related to that moment? Because sometimes we snap or frustrated because of a different reason altogether, because we are tired, or because we're really hungry, or because we didn't get a great night's sleep. And sometimes we're assigning emotion to a situation that it doesn't even belong there. And we need to actually just release the emotion and say, okay, this emotion doesn't belong in this situation that I was in. It's related to something else. Man. The second thing we can do is we can reassign an emotion. And this actually happens quite a bit. We may get frustrated. We may have something happen. And we realize, oh, wait a second, I actually have a different hurt that this is reminding me of. And this emotion, okay, yeah, maybe I'm just going to keep going with the marriage one. Maybe my spouse did actually just hurt my feelings, but my reaction is as if all 20 years of our relationship is all on this incident. And that's actually not fair to me or to my spouse to put that much intensity. I'm going to need to ask myself, wait, am I hurt about this thing that just happened because he did not take out the trash this morning? Or am I actually feeling all these other feelings that are related to bigger things? Maybe we're not on the same page about this season in our marriage. Maybe I'm feeling disappointed about something else. And I want to reassign that emotion appropriately because that's a different conversation. And if I use the taking out the trash as the argument with which I can now express all of my emotion about everything I'm disappointed about, it really is not fair to him or to me to use that emotion that way. I want to reassign it appropriately. And then the third way is it's actually appropriate. You have an appropriate response for the situation that you're in. And then you have the opportunity to actually use that emotion to help you respond to that person. I was disappointed when we were supposed to meet for coffee and then you didn't make it. Can we talk about how we might be able to reschedule that? That would be an appropriate emotion for the moment that I was in. So this is a process. This can be very new for people, but really just starting with even that, am I able to name my emotion accurately? And then can I place it appropriately, let the situation I'm in bring it up? And then where do I put it appropriately so that I can deal with it in a healthy way?
Boy, that's fantastic. Wow, so good. Steve wrote in, he says, you know, I was trying to make my world smaller because it was so negative, but God told me to snap out of it and bring positivity to the world instead. Trying to do that without judgment, it's hard. But Steve, it's just heroic. So many people said, you know, the nursing industry needs you. Nurses who want to step back, consider home health care or nursing home. We need you. And then as we get ready to wrap here, I want to pray for Christy. She said, will you pray for my father-in-law, Tom Simmons? He's battling double lung pneumonia from COVID. And if his immune system doesn't kick in soon, he won't survive. We don't want to lose him. We do understand if God calls him home. He'll be way off better there than here, but he was a pastor for 40 years and we love him. I could just cry, Christy. Wow, a pastor for 40 years. You love him. You love your father-in-law. I mean, just there's so much about that that's so heart-wrenching for me. Wow. God bless you, hon. I'm wondering, Nicole, if you would pray for Christy and for her father-in-law, Tom.
Yes, absolutely. Lord, right now, we lift up Christy. We pray that she might know your peace that passes understanding, Lord. And we know that this is not our home and that this is a temporary stopover. But God, we love the people that you've given us to love. And Christy loves her father-in-law and he's a beloved member of his family and his community, I'm sure. And so, Lord, we pray that your angels would be with him and that the hands that are attending to him would be full of wisdom and grace, Lord. And that if it is in your will that you might bring him through this, God, because his work and his role is not done here in this temporary place, our temporary home, then God, we pray for that healing. We pray for that miracle. God, we also know that we believe that your will should be done. And we know that you ask us to ask for what we want, though. So, Lord, we do pray for healing. We pray for recovery. We pray for more time here on earth for Tom, Lord. But even in the midst of that, even more so, God, we pray that your will would be done. And even right now, that Christy and Tom and the nurses and doctors attending to him would have a sense of your spirit, your presence, your deep peace, that there would be a thin place even in that hospital room where heaven and earth connect, and that there might be a sacred sense of just the goodness and grace and holiness of who you are that might draw others to you who are surrounding Tom right now, Lord. We know that you work in those ways, God. You work in our victories and you work in our times of limitation and our times of weakness. And I pray that you would be working in all of that even right now as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Christy, would you keep us posted on how Tom is doing? Do not hesitate. In fact, even email me, info@SusieLarson.com, with updates, and we'll continue to hold him close. And Nicole, we sure love and appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom today.
Thank you,
what a great show. Bless you, hon. And friend, I pray you found some encouragement here. We are here every day to do this faith journey with you, to hopefully encourage you in your faith, to keep you on, because you know what? God's hold on you is stronger than your hold on him. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.